Welcome everybody to the Building with Purpose podcast webinar conference. We're kind of doing it all here. And the thing that excites me about this session is that we have Scott Thor, who is a Lean Six Sigma master black belt and a personal financial coach through Dave Ramsey. So today, what we are primarily going to be diving into is the personal finance side. Welcome to the Building with Purpose conference. Welcome.
All right. Thanks, Justin.
Why don't you start just by, I mean, that was a very quick 30,000 foot view introduction of who you are, but give us just two more minutes about who you are and what your expertise is.
Yeah. So, like my story really from a personal finance perspective goes back to 2011 when my wife's a physician. And back in 2011, I was working on a doctoral degree in management. I was doing a lot of management consulting, process improvement consulting. And my wife graduates from her residency program, and she gets the real, quote unquote, doctor job, making the real doctor money. And I'm making a lot of money as a consultant. And about this time of year, actually, around tax time, we're doing taxes, and like a lot of my clients, this time of year, I've had a few clients recently that have told me this, where you're doing your taxes and you look down and you see like how much money you made the previous year. And you're like, where did all that money go? Like, we've got none of this money left. Where did it go? And we kind of hit that point in our life back in 2011 when we looked at how much money we made and how little we had. And just, you know, we make too much money to be this broke. And that got me off on this path of searching for just different techniques and methods to get out of debt. And I came across Dave Ramsey. Didn't know anything about him up until that point. Dave Ramsey, if folks don't know who he is, he started this financial advice ministry about 25 years ago. He's got about 15 million listeners to his radio program every week. And so I came across Dave and started to hear people on his radio program where he has people come to his studios in Nashville, Tennessee, and they do this thing called the debt-free scream, where they get on his show and then they tell their story and they scream, I'm debt-free, we're debt-free. And so I was hearing all these people screaming they're debt-free, and I thought, man, I want to be one of those people. You know, wouldn't it be awesome, you know, making the money we're making and not having any debt? That would be amazing. So told my wife about it. She got on board pretty quickly, and we started working through the process and paid off all of our debt and started to live this debt-free lifestyle and experience a ton of freedom, being able to do what we want to do, not what we have to do. And a few years ago, decided, you know, I want to start sharing this with other people, because there are so many people in this world who are living paycheck to paycheck and need some help, need some guidance. And so that's really kind of where my financial coaching business was kind of born out of my own experience and my own freedom from debt and wanting to share that with other people.
Excellent. Thank you. And I think that, I mean, it's such a relevant and a timely place for us to start. So can you just quickly walk us through maybe what that looks like? Somebody's listening to this and saying, boy, that I realize now my life, you know, my standard of living is too high and I can't make this work. How can they start that journey?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the best starting point is really just taking control of your money. Like if you look at folks who are financially successful, one thing they do with their money is they tell it where to go. They give their money an assignment every single month. And we commonly call that a budget or a spending plan, for people that don't like that word. And so that's really the starting point, is just really as simple as telling your money where to go, taking control of your money, using some of the tools that are available online to make that easy. I use an app called Every Dollar that makes it very simple to track your expenses, link it to your bank account to see where your money's going. But that's probably the best starting point I can offer for most folks. In fact, most of the people I coach, that's the first step in the process, because I haven't worked with anybody who has told me right from the beginning, you know, Scott, I love to budget and I know where all my money's going, but I still need your help. That just never happens. That's usually what they come to me because they need some help taking control of their money. So I think that's one of the things that this time when we've got uncertainty about, you know, what money's going to be coming into our bank accounts in the future from our jobs, we need to start by taking control of that money, and the budget or spending plan is the tool to do that.
Yeah, great. I have a friend that uses the phrase more month than money, right? Yep. And so they're in this perpetual cycle. If I've got more month than money. And so maybe somebody is listening to this and it's the first time that they've even had that sort of conversation, right? Maybe this is brand new information, because I know even I don't work with finances at all, but inevitably they come up with business owners, right? Because we have to talk about the financial plan aspect of it. And I've run into business owners who are saying, you know, I don't really set a plan that much. Like, we just kind of, when we have money, we do stuff. So I have no problem believing that for the individual involved, that this can be an issue. So what are maybe some of those warning signs that things are more uncontrollable than maybe we like to admit, right? We're still safe for right now, but 6 months from now, we may not be. Are there some of those warning signs we can be aware of?
Yeah, I think it does start with that budget. When you put that first budget together, like the other day I was working with a client and we were putting together her budget, and the approach I use is called a zero-based budget. So a zero-based budget is when you start with like how much money is coming into your household each month. So all the income coming into your house, and you say, for example, let's just say it's $5,000 coming into your household each month in income. You start with that $5,000 and you just start subtracting off expenses like housing and food and transportation, electricity, all the stuff you're spending money on. And every dollar gets an assignment. Every dollar is told where to go, so that when you're done with that budget, you end up with a zero balance, basically. It doesn't mean you spend every dollar, but every dollar gets an assignment. So you start with, say, example, $5,000. And when you're done, you end up at zero. And one of the things that I will do with a client when we first get started is do that zero-based budget. And what happens more often than not is that that zero dollar balance is actually negative. Like, they're actually spending more money than they have coming in. And they've been a lot of times using their credit cards. This is why credit cards can get people into trouble, is that it's very easy just to swipe your card, going after the points and the things that people use credit cards for, and not even realize you're actually spending more than you actually have income coming in. So the first time we do that budget or that zero-based budget, that's one of the things that's a big eye-opener. And as people are starting to maybe potentially be facing a job loss in the future or reduced hours, it really starts with cutting expenses. But if you don't know what those expenses are, it's hard to really take control of them. So that's one of the things that I think very quickly helps people to change their behavior with their money, which is really, in many ways, what I am, is more of a behavior coach than I am really a math coach, a financial coach.
Yeah. So, and I find that interesting, and I love the psychology and the mindset behind our behaviors. A lot of what I do on the personal coaching side is we look at things like habits and disciplines, and we talk about how to build those in. But I'm curious to just, debt and credit cards seem to be the normal operating standard of the world, right? You're crazy if you don't have a credit card. So, but it didn't always get to be that way. So, like, how do we wind up here? How do we wind up in a place where we're having to budget because we're spending more than we make and don't even realize it?
Yeah, I think a big part of it has to do with comparisons. You know, we're looking at what other people around us have as far as the big car, the big house, taking the big vacations. We're seeing it in people's Facebook feeds and that they're, you know, doing really exciting, expensive things. And the thing that is kind of unique to my situation is I get to see behind the curtain and of what's really going on. You know, on the stage, center stage, in front of the curtain of people's lives is sometimes not really what's going on behind the stage, you know, or behind the scenes. And so I get to see all the numbers and where the money's going and how it's not adding up. And I think that's one of the things that's really gotten us in trouble is we've got a society that sees others succeeding, although they're, you know, if you look behind the curtain, they're not, they're struggling financially. And we're just trying to keep up with them because we feel like we're falling behind when our friends have the new car, the big house, taking the big vacations. And so that's gotten us into trouble with trying to keep up with others, you know, keep up with the proverbial Joneses. The other thing is just, it's a real problem with contentment. I think that you know, to be content, like that's one of the best tools to have in your financial toolbox is a sense of contentment, which is, you know, just being happy and joyful with what you have today, nothing more, nothing less. And that is a constant struggle that, you know, I battle, as well as, you know, all of my clients battle, is just being content. You know, it's I was reading a book a few years back called Enough by John Bogle, who's by all standards one of the titans of investing. In fact, he created the index fund. He was a big part of Vanguard Investments, and he writes about a story about two guys on this island at this billionaire's birthday party and just this big extravaganza going on. And the one guy goes to the other guy, you know, this guy is just like, could you imagine being, you know, as wealthy as this guy and having all this rich, you know, this all this richness and all this success and having your own island like this guy does and being able to host these parties where people are flying in on helicopters. And this famous author he was talking to, he said, yeah, I mean, that would be pretty cool, but I've got one thing that this guy doesn't have. And his friend said, well, what's that? I've got enough. I have enough, you know. And that's the thing that so many people are like, how much is enough? And I ask my clients that oftentimes, and a lot of times, you know, it really comes down to just a little bit more. But I've found even in my own personal life, you know, I thought like once we got our house paid off, that was going to be it. Like, okay, now, you know, I'll be so content once the house is paid off. Well, that happened. And no, that was great for a little while. But then, you know, it started to creep into my life. You know, I want a little bit more, something else. You know, it's like, so this contentment and comparisons, I think, are the two biggest challenges that people have to face when they want to take control of their finances. And when you actually realize, and I can share this with clients, in fact, sometimes when I'm talking with clients and they're like, I've got, for example, one couple I'm working with that's got over $400,000 in student loans, a couple teachers, which is a crazy amount of student loans, but they're not the only ones that I'm working with that are like that. When I tell them, hey, you got a little bit more than the average person by far, but there are other people out there just like you. And if you were able to peer inside the financial world of all those people around you, your friends and family, you would see that many of them are very much just like you, deep in debt. And that oftentimes brings a sense of comfort to people, not knowing that they've got a lot of debt, you know, that really stinks, but knowing like they're not that much far off from the average person out there. So that contentment and the comparisons are really the two things that I really try to help clients with, is, you know, learning to be content with what you have, and also quitting the comparisons. And right now with this COVID stuff going on, it's probably a good time to do a lot of reflection and being thankful for what you do have, you know?
So, yeah, absolutely. No, I was thinking that. And what I would love to hear from you, what I think our audience would love to hear, is do you have a set of tools to help increase contentment? Like for somebody who's sitting here reflecting and saying, okay, man, I do need to make a change. How do we get started on that journey of contentment? That seems like a pretty hard one.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a spiritual thing. You know, you find contentment in Christ. You know, for me, from a spiritual perspective, and if you're not a believer, you know, contentment can come from your family and the things that you've been blessed with. You know, but it is a challenge. It's a mind game. It's like we've got this minefield. And in fact, you know, you close your eyes, the comparisons is really tough, because even if you turn off the TV, turn off social media, and just kind of block everything out, this thing up here is still working and it's still spinning up here, and you've got the comparisons and not being content up there as well. So a lot of things that I do with clients are journaling too, is just writing about your life and looking back on your life and seeing, you know, the progress you've made. For example, when I'm working with folks who have advanced in their careers and showing them that, you know, you have achieved some, you know, level of success. And there's nothing wrong with striving after more. I think all of us are created to do more than we currently are. You know, we're always striving to get to that next level, but instead of trying to seek that next level to find a greater sense of contentment, because there's not really like a contentment meter. It's like, you know, either you're content or you're not, and we move in and out of states of contentment. But, you know, this is a big part of my coaching, is just talking with people through these challenges and talking with them about being content with what they have and not content with their current financial situation. So it's okay to be not content with that. In fact, that's a good thing because that will typically drive them to do something with it. Because a lot of people I work with, or I try to work with, I should probably say, that don't want to move forward and do any coaching are just kind of like, I'm content with the debt that I have. I'm content with making payments every month. And one of my clients just the other day, her name's Joey, was telling me that she finally broke through and realized like, hey, my life doesn't always have to be around making payments. Like I can actually, you know, have a life without payments. I can have a life without debt and I can actually do this because so many people I work with are just, they fall into this trap of feeling like I'm always going to have payments. I'm always going to have debt. That's just normal. And it's true. It is actually normal. Like most people have lots of debt and, you know, by definition, that is normal. So in a lot of ways, I'm helping people to be abnormal. And the comparisons is a big one too. I mean, cause it's a little bit easier to deal with the comparisons just by turning off the social media or limiting your time. Like the way I suggest clients do that is just to limit your time. Like have a time box of, you know, 30 minutes or an hour on social media and then just turn it off, because especially right now when it's just so easy to be on our phones scrolling all the time and on social media like nonstop, I could see the problem getting even worse, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's limiting your time, exposing yourself to that. And then the other part of it is, you know, working with someone like me, I can share with them, you know, that what you see on social media is not reality. Many, many, many people, and all the statistics bear this out, are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, 70-80% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck, and about 65-70% can't even afford $1,000 emergency. So the statistics show what people are seeing online and hearing from friends and family is probably not reality when you look at their lifestyles and their situations. And that's one thing I think this pandemic is, it's going to be kind of bittersweet. I think in some ways it's going to expose, the longer it goes on, people in their financial situations for what they really are, which is kind of a bad and a good thing. It's a bad thing in that, you know, nobody wants to, you know, run out of money or be in a tough financial spot, but I think it's going to help people see that they need to change. And oftentimes I can't do that. I can't tell people that I come in contact with that you need to change. They have to decide to do it on their own. And I think this, like the other day when I signed up a new client, a husband and wife, her husband had lost his job. And I talked to them months ago and they weren't willing to do coaching. And now all of a sudden the husband loses the job and he's more open to it now that they need some help. And so it's going to expose a lot of people's financial weaknesses. And that's really where I'm there to help kind of fill in and help them strengthen that, so that when they come out of this, like that would be my goal for this whole pandemic, would be that we emerge not like our federal government, who's going to emerge out of this with trillions more in debt, but we emerge in our personal finances in a better spot. Maybe not financially, maybe we will have some financial struggles and emerge with a little bit bigger problem, but we emerge with a mindset that is renewed and focused on getting out of debt, so that when the next pandemic or next crisis comes, because we know there will be another one, this isn't going to be the last one, that people are in a better spot financially, that when they go into this, they have, you know, 3 to 6 months of savings in the bank. And even if they lose their job, they're not, you know, one paycheck away from being evicted.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. And thank you for that. There's a lot of great content in there. One of the things that I'm curious about that you were touching about is this tension between needing to practice contentment, and yet we are all called for more. So, and maybe this blends your two worlds as the Lean Six Sigma master black belt and financial coach, right? Like,
yeah,
we want people to be content with what they have, but as business owners, we're always trying to do more. So how can we walk that tension faithfully and judiciously without burdening ourselves, our business, and those around us?
Yeah, it's kind of a paradox, isn't it? It's like to be content, but then to always be striving after more. The contentment piece for me is more about physical things, you know, being content with the possessions that you have, the car you drive, the house you live in, the clothes you're wearing. And that's different from being content with who you are as an individual. Because I think, you know, as individuals, we're called to be more. We know we can do more. In fact, you know, if anybody who's been in business for more than about a second knows, you know, a year from now, they're probably going to be a lot smarter and a lot wiser. They'll be making fewer mistakes than they made a year prior if they're constantly learning and growing. So I think you got to kind of separate the two, contentment in the things that you have, but not in who you actually are. I don't think you ever want to be just content with, you know, who you are as an individual, as a person. You always want to be striving to improve who you are. And that's the other part of this, that, you know, from a mindset perspective, when it comes to finances or just in business in general, process improvement, for example, is that I'd love to see us emerge from this pandemic with being content with what we have, but not with who we are, and focusing on how do I continuously build who I am so I can be providing more value to the people around me, whether that's my family, my friends, or the people I work with or my customers, but then being content with what I have, the possessions that I have, because I think that's where we get into trouble with finances, with what we have. You know, we don't have a big enough boat. We don't have a big enough house. We don't have a big enough car. We're not taking big enough vacations. I don't have a big enough screen on my computer. You know, that gets us into trouble financially. Usually when we focus on ourselves and trying to improve who we are, that I don't find as often, although student loans could arguably be part of this, you know, trying to develop ourselves, but that generally doesn't lead to financial struggles or financial challenges. So yeah, being content with what you have, but not with who you are, I think would be my guidance to the folks I work with. I find, like, as I'm working more and more with clients and meeting with them on a routine basis each month, and talking with them each week as well, checking in with them on a weekly basis, is that I have become more of a friend and an advisor to them in all of their life, not just their finances. Because I find with a lot of the clients I work with, money is not really the problem. It's more about, you know, money is part of the problem, but it doesn't come to the surface until tensions arise in a marriage or challenges arise in a job. And so it's just kind of a symptom of a bigger problem. So I'm finding a lot of helping people with, like, you know, their career choices and with their marriages. So often I work with couples that have marital problems. They come to me because, you know, they think, you know, the money part of it is an issue, and it is a part of it, but it's just a symptom of a deeper issue, which is really, you know, marital issues sometimes.
Wow. Just out of curiosity, I want to maybe one more question on the personal finance side before we dive into aspects of your business. This stimulus check, most of us have gotten it or about to get it, right? We know that it's coming. I wake up one morning, I have this check for whatever amount in my bank account. What becomes, from your financial coaching perspective, absolutely necessary to spend that money on? Because if I'm honest, I have this feeling like, well, I just got a brand new payday. Looks like I do get that bigger TV, but I hear you arguing for something completely different, right? So what are the wise ways we invest that money into this current situation?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's different for everyone. It really goes back to what is your current financial situation. So if you're in debt, obviously going out and spending it on a new TV and stimulating the economy like our federal government wants, probably, you know, if you ask them, that would be their choice, is to go out and spend it, because that, you know, 2/3 of our economy is driven by consumer spending, by us spending money. And that's okay if you've got your finances in order and you've got emergency savings, but most people don't. So my advice is, you know, you got to start with kind of what I call the four walls, and that's basically your food, you know, making sure you got food on the table, utilities, electricity, gas, water, transportation to get to and from your employment if you're still driving, and then also taking care of your housing. You know, and so it's like, those are the main things you got to keep in mind, first of all, to start with, you know, making sure you've got enough money to cover those, and to be thinking out like, okay, well, how long is this going to last? You know, I would be thinking this is going to be going on for at least another 6 to 12 months, who knows, maybe even longer. And if you're in debt, like most of Americans are, what I've been advising my clients to do is to start working on saving as much money as possible, because you don't know what's going to happen in the future. You could be unemployed and you might need that money. So it's best to save it, because naturally, if we're in a different scenario, I would be telling people, you know, every extra dollar coming into your household should be thrown against your debt. But right now, with this unknown situation going on, it's probably best to save that money and to use it to help get you through this period of you know, we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then once we emerge out of this and things start to settle down, you feel like you're more secure in your job, then use that money to throw at your debt is what I would be advising clients to do right now.
Excellent. Thank you. How, let's shift to your business here for just the last few questions, because I think as a successful business owner, you have a lot of insight that you can give people. So why don't you just tell us from your perspective, like, how has your business had to shift and pivot during this time? What changes are you making?
Yeah, the way I conduct business hasn't changed at all, because I do all my business via Zoom. So even with clients I'm working with right here in my town, my city where I live, it's kind of cool that people prefer to meet online even before all this craziness started happening, the pandemic. So it really hasn't affected my business as far as how I conduct it. But what has changed is what I'm talking to clients about, because obviously the pandemic has gotten people thinking about their money from a different perspective. And the focus from my clients now has shifted away from throwing money at debt to saving money to get through this period of, you know, of unknown what's going to happen into the future. So what we're talking about has changed dramatically for most. Now, there are some people I work with that are, for example, teachers or are working in government, and they feel like they're super secure in their positions. And, you know, it's all a matter of trade-offs. You know, do you feel secure enough that you can still throw some money at your debt during this time frame, or take advantage of right now with student loans not being charged any interest and having those payments deferred right now until September is a great time to attack that debt possibly, because now it's, you know, interest-free. But what has changed is definitely, you know, how people are spending their money and focusing more on, in fact, many of them are spending less because they're not going out. So it's a chance for me to help people to see like how maybe you can be more content with doing less with your life temporarily, because that's a part of what I do too, is I try to help people see like this is just a temporary shift in your spending behavior to throw more money at debt and less at, you know, the things you want to do. And then eventually, once you're out of debt, you can start to do more of those things you want to do. So it's, in some ways, it's kind of a little bit of a test drive and getting people to see like, you know, maybe I don't need to spend all that money on my kids going to dance lessons or going out to movies. Or I'm hearing that from clients all the time, like, you know, Scott, we're not doing any of that stuff. And we're kind of starting to question like why we were doing that in the first place. You know, we could be using that money to get out of debt. And not that your kids are never going to go to a dance lesson, you're never going to go to a movie again the rest of your life, but temporarily. I think it's helped some people realize like, hey, I can actually do this. I can actually spend less money and spend more time with my family, which doesn't cost me anything. And I can be content with that. So it's, in some ways, it's been helpful in helping people to realize, you know, what little it takes to be content and what things in our lives are actually are more important than the things we have to spend money on.
Yeah, great. One of the questions that I'm asking everybody, and it's built into just my standard coaching practice, so it's me pulling out coaching questions that I just love. But for you and your perspective, through the lens of your expertise, what has this current situation made possible that maybe wasn't possible before?
I think one thing it's made possible is it's given people a chance to stop and reflect. You know, to really stop and spend more time thinking, you know, about life. Because it's like we have all this time now, or at least most of us do, that we're not driving to and from work. We're not, you know, maybe going to the office. We're not going to all those extracurricular activities in our life. So it's given us time to think, which is something I try to help my clients do as well, is to take what I call clarity breaks. Like every once in a while, like once a week is what I prescribe for my clients to start with, you know, just spend some time thinking, just stop, you know, all the madness and craziness in your life that all of us have, you know, running from one thing to the next, and just stop and think about your life, you know, look back, try to plan forward, and just, you know, take a breath. I think that's one thing that has really kind of helped some of my clients just realize, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes in the past. In fact, my approach to helping people get out of debt is to look back a little bit and say, like, you know, how did I get into this position of having all this debt? Because if I don't figure that out and understand that, I'm likely to be right back here again, you know, in the near future after I pay off all this debt. And that's the last thing I want for clients, is to get out of debt just to get back into debt. That would be money. You know, it's about getting out of debt short term, but long term, staying out of debt. So having all this time to think and to open up a book or two is another thing that's just been a blessing. I love to read, but I find, like, a lot of people I work with just aren't readers. So it's like, hey, you know, it takes away a lot of excuses for, you know, I don't have the time to do fill in that blank. Now you do. So what's your excuse? You know, so I've been really pushing clients to do that, just to think about, like, what have you in the past said, you know I should be doing blank, but I don't have the time to do it. Well, now you have the time to do that. How are you going to capitalize on that time, this time you have available right now? Because we know eventually this is, you know, we'll get back to normal, or whatever the new normal is, and you'll have less time. So how can you capitalize on this time you have available so that you emerge out of this pandemic a better person, you know, and whether that's financially or in business or just, you know, as a husband, as a wife, whatever it might be, you know, use this time to, you know, become a better person and focus on what it's going to take to do that. So I've been asking people that. That's, like I said earlier, a lot of what I do is it's centered on finances. Everything, our money has connections to all parts of our lives. But what I find is, as I start to talk to people about their money quickly becomes kind of a side discussion. And it's really more about their marriage, or it's about, you know, one of their kids, or it's about this job that they go to every day that they hate. You know, it's like, you know, and that becomes really the centerpiece of our discussion. So now that, you know, people have all this time on their hands, how can they use that time to emerge from this better, you know, a better person, and be prepared to take the next step in your life, in your career, with your family, with your finances, so that, you know, this crisis isn't wasted. I mean, I like Winston Churchill, I think, said, never let a good crisis go to waste. You know, it's like, we got a crisis on our hands. Are we just going to sit and, you know, freak out and watch CNN or Fox News and MSNBC all day and look at the numbers going up and be worried about what's going to happen? Or are we going to, you know, take control of what we can control, which is our mind, our attitude, and do something about it to make us a better person, to come out of this stronger, so that, you know, this crisis, this time, won't go to waste.
Absolutely. Fantastic stuff. Man, I wish I could ask you a lot more questions, because we need to touch on, sounds like, those marriage problems you're helping people with, and those personal growth opportunities. I'd love to dive into how businesses can pivot during this time, but I think it's also a great chance for people to reach out to you and find out more. But I'm sure people are sitting here agreeing with you, saying, yeah, we are having some financial problems. Oh, I do see it bleed over into my marriage. Oh, I do have some questions about business, right? And so how can people reach out to you to find out more, to connect with you, to explore working together? Why don't you walk us through what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is just to call me, like, in a good old-fashioned phone call. I found, like, that's because I have to really understand people's situations, so they can call me at 661-204-9448. So just give me a call and we can talk. Like, that's typically how my clients come from conversations. You know, that's really what it comes down to, is conversations lead to clients. And my goal is to just talk with folks about their situation so that I can understand where they are, and I can give them maybe one or two pieces of advice. Like, this would be like the next step. If you truly want to be debt free and take control of your finances, here's what I would do next. And then inject a little bit of hope into their situation, because I find, like, so many people I talk to are just so deflated. And by the time they get to me, they're frustrated, they're angry, they just feel like they've failed. And like, I'm like a last resort. Now I have to actually go and ask someone for help. And to me, that truly is a sign of strength and not a sign of weakness. Like, when you know you need help and you don't reach out to me, that's a sign of weakness. So it's, you know, it's a sign of strength to reach out, and just giving me a call is probably the easiest way. Or they can email me at my email address of scott@cornerstonecoachingllc.com, or they can also check out my website. I offer a free 60-minute coaching call via Zoom. So I want to get to know people and understand their situation. So that's one of the ways I do it, is to just share, have them share with me their situation. And I try to give them some advice on a first step to take, and then share with them my process. Like, how does this work? Like, if we would work together as a coach, like, how does this work? How much does it cost? And just for them to figure out, like, is this the right thing for them? Because for some people, coaching is not really the right, you know, the right solution. They're not ready for it. Or maybe they don't have any debt and they've got questions about investments. Like, I can help with that as well. That's not my specialty. My specialty is really to help people get to the point where they can start to build wealth, start to invest and save money and do things and actually have some money and behave better with their money. So yeah, phone call, email, text. You can visit my website at cornerstonecoachingllc.com. I've got a couple things there too. I've got a free mini course. Takes about 30 minutes to go through. That covers three things to be doing during this pandemic. And you can also schedule a coaching call there as well.
Excellent. Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much for being on the conference. I really appreciate it. I know you're going to help a lot of people, and deeply value your time and your insights that you've given us today.